It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of The Sportsman. Not as always, we don't have Mikey V today, but we do have Binyamin the Jet Schicker. We're always happy
to have him. Wow, what a special guy.
I mean, I know Mikey V, but I'll try my best.
You're going to do just fine. I feel like every episode Jet's been on this, he's done, like, the ratings do better. Like, he adds a sauce.
They do well.
This 100%. Is what I do. This is like a dream podcast. You just sit there and talk about fucking sports and you know, it doesn't get much better than that.
I love your setup too. Your new apartment looks good in the background.
Yeah, but I don't like the fact that the kitchen is just sitting behind me. I told you, I haven't found like a spot in the apartment where I can like do this stuff yet. I'm like figuring it out.
Yeah, but the last place, I mean, you just had that couch in the background. I mean, I think this looks better.
But the last place had like a nice like brick wall behind me.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, you got to get yourself, do you not have an office space or something that you could
do? No, I don't have an office space, Joe. I don't have an office.
Well, it looked like in your last one, you had like a little like designated area where you were set up.
Yeah, it was just, well, okay, the wall, because the walls are better. This apartment is 10 times better than that one, but I could probably just put this up against a different wall and then just put something behind it and then I'll be good. I won't do it, but I should.
Are you guys enjoying the Jupiter area so far? All right, keep
Jet. Jet, I'm liking it.
I do a lot of walking here. I enjoy that. It's nice to like, it's very different than LA. And I live in like this, the area I live in has like its own little like situation. So you can just like walk around and stuff.
Aren't you on a golf course, Jet?
No, there's a lot of golf courses surrounding, but it's in this little like complex, but it has its own like shopping. Like there's a Publix in here and there's a Starbucks and there's whatever. So I you know.
You love being close to a Starbucks. It's important to you.
It's a good feeling.
I walk to Starbucks every day.
You should try a Panera Bread. They have a great new club that they just started.
Well, I would, but you have to take out a loan to pay for a sandwich at Panera these days.
No, just do the Sip Club.
Is the Panera coffee good?
It's exquisite.
What exactly? I've heard you talking about the Sip Club a lot, but what is the Sip Club?
So it's unlimited coffee. You get a cup every 2 hours. The first 2 months, you get it for free. And then after that's $12 a month. So you could literally have a cup of coffee every single day for $12 a month.
What are like
and up to 2 hours
coffee, every day. Iced coffee.
Yeah. Hot coffee, iced tea, fountain drinks.
Does it do it? You scan the app, they're timing you.
So you have the app and then you put in your request. You show up, like you could put either rapid pickup or a time that you want to pick it up. The cup's waiting for you. So you just grab your cup fill up your coffee.
What size is that?
Large, regular.
So you can do whatever you want. You can get a cup of coffee every day for 30 days in a month for $12.
You could actually get 4 cups of coffee a day.
Right, right. But then you have to go and okay.
Whoa, but yes, you could do whatever. You could do 1 cup a day every day for a month for $12. And the first 2 months, you don't pay a dime.
People are going to catch on to this. And
does the Sip Club? So the Sip Club extends to fountain drinks?
Yes, it does. Iced teas, sodas. They got iced coffees. They got like any of those. It all is included in the Sip Club.
Does it extend to soup?
No. That's when you're pushing your luck there, Tim.
Okay. Fair enough. I'm loving it. I found a new pizza spot, by the way, that I got to tell you about. I mean, Grimaldi's is great. It's clearly number one. But this spot, it's like a good football pizza. It's a different style pizza. It's called Santana's. And you walk in there.
Santana's.
You walk in there and it's so uninviting, but they got the big ass oven just cooking and you just smell it. And there's just one old guy, I think it's Santana in the back, and he's working his ass off. He's sweating over.
He got a guitar?
No, he doesn't have a guitar. Let's get into sports.
The more uninviting a pizza store looks, the better the pizza.
Correct.
You want your pizza store to be run. You almost want mold to be growing off the wall.
I feel that way about Mexican too.
Yeah, sure.
The shittier the Mexican spot or the shittier the taco truck, the better the tacos always are.
Yeah.
All right, guys, let's jump into some sports here. Let's start with the March Madness tournament. We had a good time with it. We were in New York for one of the days, and it was a blast. We spent the whole day at the Breezy Lounge, and it was fun getting to connect with people and just watch the games. I know Joey D had a hell of a time watching that Colorado game.
Yeah, I mean, the whole world jumped on it, it seemed. And, you know, it's fun when you get a group of guys together to ride a pick and you can, you know, you can watch a cash. And unfortunately, it almost didn't hit. We were looking so gravy train until the last minute. They just couldn't make a free throw. But yeah, no, that was a lot of fun. It's always fun when you can watch a game with a large group. You're all riding on something and then it hits. It's sensational. It's a great, great feeling.
Our good friend Teddy made one comment to you, though, and I saw you unleash on this young man in a way that I haven't seen you do in a while. Maybe.
Yeah, I lost my shit a little bit. I knew that there was multiple people riding me and I didn't want to let them down. And, you know, sometimes, you know, and I love Teddy more than anyone. I really do. But sometimes the peanut gallery just, you know, it's like a cattle prod. You just don't need it. You just don't need it. And I was saying fake comeback. Sure enough, this kid from Florida hits three last second, ties the game. It looked like I was going to overtime. He goes, it wasn't a fake comeback. Yeah, just not ideal timing, you know, and I'll hold my hand up on that one. I lost it, ripped him up a little bit, but, you know, ultimately it was a fake comeback.
Yeah, it's never fun. It's never fun when when somebody's needling you during a bet. It's not fun and it's not okay. So maybe it was deserved, you know? I love Teddy.
I do too. I really do. Makes me think maybe he was on Florida. Maybe.
Sure.
It's a valid argument. All right, let's get into some of the biggest upsets, some of the things that surprised you the most. Jet, what games did you watch that you saw that really shocked you, or which teams do you now feel confident about moving forward?
Okay, I there were not a lot of upsets. I thought there were going to be a lot more upsets. I love a good 12-5 upset or a 12-3. Would it be a 13-3 upset? A 12-4. I love those. I love a nice team of shooters coming out of the Ivy League that just sends home like these lottery picks every year. The only team that did it this year was Oakland.
No, Yale took out Auburn.
Well, Yale did, but I'm saying yes, Yale and Auburn. But I guess Oakland was the big one. So that was cool. I will say NC State, my main takeaway is that they're really fucking good. And they won the ACC championship. They just got hot at the right time. They've got that guy Burns. Their whole team is unbelievable. I don't know why they didn't play well during the year. When you look at them on the floor, every single player is tremendously talented. So I guess I was most impressed by them for sure.
Yeah, and then JMU also, they won. I think they were 12
they
and they
Wisconsin,
won.
Yeah,
Grand Canyon won too. Grand Canyon's one of the wilder teams
you can see. They beat St. Mary's, yeah.
They do not draw plays. They do not have an offense. It's just fucking run around and chuck balls up. It's the weirdest offense I've ever seen.
The Lopes, man.
Yeah.
Joe, what about you, pal?
I go into that Yale game. I thought it was shocking that they beat Auburn. I thought the reffing in the first half was atrocious. But hey, kudos to them, man. They found a way to do it. And then also on the other side, Wisconsin losing after they had just beaten Purdue. They had just come out. They were coming off a high. I think that was set up for failure. Moving to the next round, I do think, you know, you got still those one seeds. Purdue looks really strong. And you know, Houston had almost a scare the other night against Texas A&M. I think those teams are still going to go very far. And then, you know, like Jets at NC State, I think Creighton has looked pretty solid too. They had a tough matchup against Oregon that went to double overtime and was crazy. It was against Oregon. So I think some of these teams that are good when they have scares, when they have tough matchups and they're able to overcome that, that's going to give them, you know, what they need. To me, the best team in the tournament right now looks like North Carolina. I think from top to bottom, this lineup looks unbelievable. They got Baycott, RJ Davis, and then our guy Cormac, and they're just, you know, They came out a little slow against Michigan State and then ended up beating them by like 17. So those are the teams that I like moving forward. It's hard to predict future upsets, but I think this thing's going to be tight. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, now they're in the Sweet 16. And I think we got all four of the one seeds still alive, no?
Yep. Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
I mean, the only real lower seed that's there is NC State, and they probably have the best matchup for themselves, the most gettable team in the next round, which I think is Marquette. I think Marquette is not as good as advertised, but we'll see. We'll Barely see what won. Happens there.
I'll tell you who's over. Wisconsin, first of all, Virginia and Wisconsin are the two most over. I know they got dumped in the first round. If those teams go down by 4 or 6 points, they're done. They can't, their offenses are unable to make a comeback because they play so unbelievably slow and they turn the ball. Like watching Wisconsin play is one of the most, more difficult things you can do in watching college basketball, and Virginia. It's tough.
I would agree with that. And there was a guy at the Breezy Lounge who is a friend of the program, Michael Ingracia. He brought his son, and his son goes to Wisconsin, and it was right before the game had started. And he was telling me all the reasons. Lovely kid. But he just gave me a load of crap about why Wisconsin was going to win that game. Sure. And sorry about that, pal. But that was a tough watch, man. That was a tough game. And then I think Creighton. I mean, dude, my bracket is completely broken. I'm a nightmare. I think Joe has the best shot in our sportsman bracket. But Jet, did you fill one out this year?
No, I don't do brackets.
You don't do that.
I don't. No, I don't do them. I don't do them. It's not. You know why I don't do them? Because I don't want to listen to people telling me about theirs. Now, I guess you'll be forced to hear about people telling you about theirs. But I said before, brackets and fantasy football to me are the same shit. I don't care about your bracket, and I don't care about your fantasy football teams. I like to bet on the games here and there, but like I can't. The brackets are they're awful. They're cool. Like, it's a cool concept, but it's just like, I don't want to hear about it. I'm happy to join a pool, you know, but like, I'm not going to talk about it.
Fair enough. I mean, so well, with who's left, who do you think has the best chances of winning? Do you like UConn? Do you like UNC?
Oh, who
do you like?
I think UConn. I disagree with what you said about North Carolina, Cutsy. I think that they're going to put up a dud one of these nights.
You think so?
Yeah. Like they did all year. They would just disappear in random moments. I am rooting for them. I like them. Purdue, I think has a great chance. And UConn, and then Houston too has been my team all year. Like I've been kind of rooting for Houston all year. The problem is they don't have enough guys. They got two guys. They got Jamal Shedd, and they got that guy Cryer who make the threes. And then they have these other guys who need to step up. Like in the last game, that guy Sharp had like 26 points or something. If they don't have their guys step up and they get in foul trouble, they're done. I'm rooting for Houston though. They're the team I want to see it all. I want to see Jim Nantz doing cartwheels in the fucking
state. Like Iowa State too, by the way. Iowa State is.
I think they're going to lose. They're playing Illinois. Illinois is another team to keep an eye on. They're playing each other, I think, tomorrow or Friday. They're 2 points.
That'll be a very good game.
Yeah.
Do you like Iowa State though? You like them, Joe?
I do. Yeah, I think they're very talented.
They got a coach. Their coach is jacked. You ever?
By the way, they beat Houston by like 20 something points right before the tournament.
Oh yeah, and
they dominated them. And Houston is one of the best defensive teams in all of college basketball.
Iowa State and Houston both play defense.
Can't score, can't play quarterback, but they play defense. Yeah. All right, one more thing I wanted to touch on before we move on, and we'll get to Shohei Ohtani. But before we move on, when we landed in New York, Jet was telling me about a fascinating theory that he has about three-point shooting teams in March Madness and how they thrive, certainly in the first and second rounds. Tell me a little bit about that theory and tell me how it worked out for you.
Well, it's not a theory. So here's the thing.
Well, Grambling almost came through for it.
It always, every year in the first round, if you like take the time to go and study some of these teams' three-point shooting, for example, if I knew that like Oakland, they beat – if you get hot in one game against these teams that are not prepared, it's over. Like if you find yourself making threes against a team like Kentucky, it's not a series. It's not a five-game series, not a seven-game series. You get hot for one game, it's over. So if you look at – for example, a few years ago, it was Oral Roberts. They just had these – they would just drain threes, and they ran through two or three teams. And then the next year, St. Peter's just started raining threes on people, and they ran through a few teams. And this year, It was Oakland and it was Samford. And Samford almost beat Kansas because they started raining threes at the end of that game. So I'm big into three-point shooting teams in the first, you know, big upsets in the first rounds of March Madness. Yeah, I love I just love betting like a plus 800, plus 1,000 underdog in that first round.
Last year was St. Peter's was his like lucky charm.
It was.
Wasn't that 2 years ago? 2 years ago, right?
Or 2 years.
Yeah, who was the big team that made all the upsets last year?
FAU maybe?
Maybe. I don't know if they shot the
three. Fairleigh Dickinson.
Fairleigh Dickinson.
Yeah.
They
took out Purdue.
It's usually a team with a bunch of white guys, and they just shoot the three. And that's what it is.
Yeah.
Fairleigh Dickinson, how far did they make it last year?
I think they only won that one game.
Oh, okay. Because I confused them in St. Peter's. St. Peter's went to the Final Four, I think.
No, they went to like the Sweet 16.
Elite Eight, I think.
Or Elite Eight.
And they lost to a one seed, I think. Oh, no, they couldn't have. It was because they beat Purdue in the beginning.
They beat Purdue in the first round,
No, they beat Purdue in the Sweet 16.
Were they not a 16 seed?
They beat Kentucky in the first round.
Yes, that's right, Kentucky.
And then I forget who they beat in the second round, and then they beat Purdue in the third round. They lost in the Elite Eight to like a big-time team.
Yeah, sure. Do you subscribe to this whole thing about Purdue, by the way? Like, they can't win. They never show up in March. Do you subscribe?
I don't think Kentucky shows up in March either. Kentucky, all you got to do is win one and then you're clear. It's the Tom Izzo move. You make four Final Fours in 60 years and they'll talk about it forever. You can get bounced in the first round for the next 30 years. And they talk about him like he's the greatest coach of all time, which I mean, he is. He's also the only guy who can survive every possible scandal of all time. Swipe scandals left and right. Any other coach, I think it's like a basketball thing. If you're a college football coach and you're under scandal, they fire you before they like have results of investigation. If you're a basketball coach, they give you all the time in the world to make up, you know, why you didn't know that the guy, you know, was cheating on his test. Like it's weird.
Yeah, who was the other big? What was it? Rick Pitino? Wasn't Pitino in all kinds of heat too?
Pitino, Roy Williams got in a bunch. Calipari's been a bunch. Bill Self has been through a bunch. All these coaches go through it, and if it's not football, no one gives a shit.
Yeah, and then Calipari actually, when they lost the other day, he came out in the press conference and said, like, "Yeah, I was already thinking about next
Bill
year."
That was Bill Self.
Yeah. You're right.
It's like what? Like,
and
like,
he's catching all kinds of shit for that.
I mean, he should, but they don't. They don't give. I don't know.
All right, fair enough. Any closing thoughts there on March Madness, Joe? Or were you ready to move on?
I think we should move on. I mean, I think there's still a lot of, a lot to be said, and it's going to be exciting couple weeks. But I think up to this point, you know, we've covered it in pretty good.
Perfect. All right, let's move on. MLB season starting. No one seems to really give a shit about that, though. The whole story, Shohei Ohtani. Joe, talk me a little bit through what you've heard and what you know about this.
I don't know what to make of this. It's so bizarre. And, like, now he's saying that he didn't bet. But, like, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, he's just giving his interpreter millions of dollars and not asking what it's going for. Like, I don't know, man. To me, the whole thing is just beyond fishy. It's strange. It's bizarre. As someone who's had to pay out bookies in the past, I mean, it seems kind of like, you know, he might be a little bit guilty, but I don't know, man. It's absolutely wild. The guy doesn't speak English, so who knows what his interpreter now is saying. I don't know, man. I don't know. Not off to a hot start, though, with his new team, that this is the scandal that he's involved with.
I'm sure Jet can make sense of it for you. Jet, tell us about the Shohei thing.
Well, let me tell you, his interpreter did send me $4 million, so I'm good. but I like, it's just weird. Like, it doesn't make any sense. It's the weirdest thing ever. What Cutsy said is true. It doesn't help that he doesn't speak English. Like, how are we supposed to find out what, like, and also for the MLB, who basically bans guys for gambling on, and again, I don't really know the whole, like, why, like, was he betting on? Was he betting on his team? Was he betting on this? Was he betting on that? I think it's two things. One, he's either just like a good friend and he's just taking care of his boy because he's almost worth $1 billion and his boy got in a little trouble and it's just like play money. All right, I'll help my friend out. Or two, he's doing this gambling and it's all a cover up. I don't care either way. But it's definitely really, really weird. There was that picture that surfaced of him at like a Gonzaga, like Texas A&M. I don't know who they were playing, but he was at a random ass March Madness game a few years ago. And they're like, yeah, something's fishy here. But yeah, I don't, it's weird. It's certainly weird.
Yeah. I mean, the most obvious outcome is that this guy was placing the bets for him. And now this guy's going to have to take the rap for him too, because he can't admit to that, because then he'll get suspended for probably at least a whole year.
What happens to the bookie? Like what happens? Like
they got, apparently the whole account got shut down.
It's like a whole $4 million. It's
yeah,
a,
they
wire shut, transfer of $4 million.
They shut them down, man. It's apparently the whole account, it collapsed.
And that's the only way that he got caught, right? Is because that whole book went down. Yeah.
Yes.
And they were like, who's this fucking guy?
And then they saw the money, and then they, 2 + 2 = 4.
Really makes you think, you know, every once in a while you put in a big hammer bet and you're like, oh, I'm really going all in on here. Meanwhile, Otani's translator's spending $4 million on a fucking year, you know, a couple months worth of bets.
Yeah, he makes $500,000 a year, too. That's another thing that points towards, obviously, it couldn't have been as much. I mean, unless he's a real degenerate, which is possible. I don't know why him not speaking English helps him, though, or hurts him, rather.
It just creates this weird dynamic to it.
Yeah,
I agree. Like he can't. It just creates this weird dynamic to me.
Well, he needs not that interpreter back.
Well, his interpreter, who knows if he's saying, Shohei could probably be like, it was me, or it was my translator who spent all the money, and then the translator translates it and lies. Now, obviously that is a joke and that would never happen and people can translate. It's just weird. Like nobody knows what's going on. He's like a silent character.
Yeah, he is. I mean, and I think he's playing right now. I think he's going to be playing.
I saw a clip of the Dodgers playing baseball in Seoul, South Korea.
Yeah,
was that part of the regular season?
Yeah, it's like the Korean series.
What marketing is this league doing?
I know. The first game of the year was in Seoul, like you said, and for us over here, it started at midnight. The game started at midnight.
I didn't know what was happening.
Yeah.
It was insane. Yeah, it's all like preseason, like, it's like what is spring training? I guess
that wasn't a regular season game.
No, it was. No.
Yes, it was.
It's not the season hasn't started yet. Ticket.
No, there was an opening day game for the Dodgers.
100%
might have counted.
It absolutely was part of the season. Everyone was up in arms that the game was on at 1 a.m.
It's his spring training still
for the Dodgers.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, no, you're right. The 2024 MLB season began in Korea where the Dodgers and Padres face off in the Seoul series from March 20th to 21st. And then week later, all 30 clubs are slated to play on opening day, which is March 28th.
Yeah.
So technically, yeah, you're right.
No one is worse than the MLB at getting the word out at what they fucking do.
That is pathetic.
Crazy.
It is a little bit. Dude, that when I grew up, that was the greatest game on the planet. Oh, and they have just totally bastardized that sport, man. They might be doing a worse job than the NBA at destroying a good product.
That's insane, man.
Yeah, it sucks. Anyways, the season has started, Joe. And is there anyone that you're kind of like a Yankees guy now, right?
I root for them to be good. I mean, now with Gerrit Cole essentially being gone, maybe for the whole season, that's going to be a tough uphill battle for them. I don't honestly see anybody beating the Dodgers with the acquisitions that they've made through the offseason. Whether Shohei's gambling or not, they're still going to be the best team by far. I think the Dodgers are the team to beat, obviously. But I'd like to see the Yankees do well. It's always nice to see Bob and Bear Down happy, you know, when the Yankees are going well. But I don't know. I think the Braves are another team that, you know, they were the hottest team basically all year in the major leagues. And now, you know, they have the Dodgers to contend with, but the NL is going to be unbelievable. It's going to be really, really good.
We could always use another guy over on the Phillies, man. We could always use another fan there, dog.
That was a fun ride until it ended.
Yeah. And you know what? It always is, because it does always end. Jed, what about you? You're a Cubs guy, right? Or you don't really give a shit anymore, but once you were, right?
I was a diehard Cubs fan, and then once they won the World Series, I kind of gave up.
You just do. So would you feel the same way if the Bears won a Super Bowl? Like, would you just not give a shit?
Yes. I just need one, and then I can shut it down. I'd still root for them. And then if they were, like, in the playoffs, I would still – or whatever, I would. But, like, once you win the big game, like, what do we got to prove, you know? Maybe in, like, a bunch of years.
Fair enough. All right, guys, moving on. This quick story here about the – I don't know why this is such big news, but every time I tune into any of these shows, they're all talking about – the banning of the hip drop tackle. Is that something you might be interested in?
It's absurd. I mean, I think it stemmed. Mark Andrews got tackled from the side like that, which is kind of the example of the tackle that they're talking about, and then ruptured his Achilles. So they're trying to prevent that. But I mean, it's already difficult enough for the, you know, for the fucking defensive players in the league to make tackles, to make plays. And now they're just limiting them even more, you know, between holding and face mask and the horse collars. And now this, it's truly, truly absurd. And you know what? Injuries are going to happen. They're inevitable. But to say that fucking, you know, making a hip check or hip tackle is going to be, you know, causing an instrumentally higher amount of injuries is, I don't know. I think it's ridiculous. I think the league's already gotten softer. Ticket, you and I, we grew up watching, you know, football, you know, 10, 15 years ago, these guys were killing each other. And now you can't do anything. Can't hit high. You can't hit low. Can't hit from the hip now. I don't know how you're supposed to make a tackle on defense.
Jet, opinion there?
They also banned insane. They changed the kickoff rules this morning, by the way. I don't know.
Yes. If you can do that. Insane.
But the hip tackle is a big problem. All it means is that you can't tackle anybody from their legs or from behind. So, like, I don't know how you're supposed to chase somebody down anymore. It's absurd. It's already tough to watch sometimes because there's flags on every single play. Here's what needs to happen is if you're going to take away this tackle, we need to start allowing helmet-to-helmet hits. Like, if you want to take one, then you got to give one. Yeah. So if you want to take the hip tackle away, then face masks are back, and they're legal. Like, that's not going to kill anybody, grabbing them by their face mask. Nobody's going to tear an Achilles. So that's what we'll have to do. And if not, the game is just – I bet you there are wide receivers and offensive players that are going to be like, these guys can't tackle. Like what? That thing is stupid. It's ridiculous. It's playing defense in the NFL is the most difficult thing to do in sports.
I would agree with that for sure.
Besides,
I
mean, you make translate for Shohei Ohtani.
Oh,
well, he found himself a new guy pretty quickly. So sure. I'd like to think it's not that tough.
Yeah. Does he already have a new translator? He's got a new guy.
He's got a guy with like a little mole on his face now.
He needs a new guy and a new book ASAP.
All right, guys, let's move on to who's a problem.
I've got a lot. There's a lot of problems going around, but I'm going to zone in on one. Like, could have given this to a lot of people. I'm going with Gene Steratore.
Sure.
And I got no problem necessarily with Gene as a person. I think he's like one of the only guys who like refs like the NFL or used to ref the NFL and college basketball. He is essentially paid to come on the broadcast under 2 minutes. And now there's about 40 reviews in every college basketball game under 2 minutes. Every play is reviewed. Even if it's not out of bounds or anything, a guy will make a shot and the refs will just decide they need to look at the clock and they'll just go to the booth and like spin that little fucking thing around for no reason. And then they bring Gene Steratore on for no other reason than to just be like, yeah, guys, great call. Agree with the refs. I'm out. I don't think he's ever disagreed with the refs in any situation. He just gets on and he's paid. He gets on. He's like the Dean Blandino of the fucking college basketball. And at least like it appears Dean Blandino every once in a while will like disagree or show some. It's the most pointless thing of all time. So I don't know if it's Gene Steratore or it's, you know, the networks who are doing this, but it's enough. Or at least have him come on and not be afraid to disagree with an official's call. So that would be my problem for the week.
All right, fair enough.
That's a good one. I'll give you my problem. My problem is John Calipari. This guy has been resting on his laurels for a while. And now did you see he came out recently and said he's the reason why, like, all these young freshmen are getting huge contracts in the NBA is because he's responsible for it. How about this, John? How about trying to win a fucking game in March Madness and stop focusing on the fact that Carl Anthony Towns is making bank because of you? It's absolutely absurd. The guy has got to get his head out of his ass. Kentucky hasn't been a fucking – they haven't been something to, you know – to actually be worried about in, it seems like, forever. The program is the shits, and they're fucking falling apart at the hands of some white dude who made 10 threes. How about you double team the kid? How about you figure something out? They were brutal all year. They banged me all year. They banged half the country. And I have to listen to this guy talk about how he's responsible for getting young men paid because he takes on freshmen. I mean, this is just... I'm not going to get into it any more than that. How about you focus and stop focusing on your success? So many guys, they focus on the success they had in the past, and then it's like they're completely omitted from having to actually be successful in the current present times.
He talks as if, like, if Anthony Davis went to Duke, he wouldn't
have made it. I know. It's unbelievable.
Like, I know. He's a good recruiter, don't get me wrong. But, like, his team was bad defensively all year. They gave up 1,000 points a game and they never improved. And even in the tournament, they're just sitting around letting guys just chuck threes on them. I agree with that. I've been I've just been, like, over his nonsense for a long time.
I mean, you can't take away that he was successful for a long time, sure, as a coach, but sometimes these college coaches, especially, it's like they just continue to ride out on their previous success. It's like, what have you done for me lately? How about that?
He's responsible for Derrick Rose.
And for him to think that the league hasn't changed, like, for him to think that he can still win with all freshmen, it ain't going to happen like that anymore, pal. I mean, it worked back in the day, but it's the league's complete, or the game is completely different. It's not, he's not changing with it at all, or even trying to. He still thinks he can put 5 freshmen out there and win a national championship.
He's a great dresser, though. He dresses very well.
Yeah, he looks sharp while he shakes the hand of the team that just beat him.
He looks kind of like a greaser to me. Like, he looks like a guy I owe money to, is what he looks like.
But yeah, he's Otani's bookie, but he dresses well.
Dresses well. Sure, like, that's fair enough.
Yeah. And he's one of the guys who's still hanging on wearing suits. While most people have, so he's got to be given a little credit for that. While most guys, especially in the NBA, that's the day the NBA went to shit, is when the coaches stopped wearing suits. I swear to God. The day it was during COVID, the day they opened up that bubble and guys showed up and Spoelstra came in wearing a Q-zip. That's
weren't the players supposed to wear suits too? And now you got Victor Wembanyama dressed up wearing a balaclava. He looks like an alien showing up to the game.
But that's, but that's pre and post. That's the Allen Iverson rule. That was pre and post game, but they came back on that. The coaches during the games are wearing sweatsuits and golf.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah.
The game went to shit the second that happened.
If Northwestern
go ahead, Tick.
If Northwestern offered you the head coaching job tomorrow, are you showing up to every game wearing a suit?
No, but that's but only because that's not what you have to do.
You got to wear a suit, pal.
And I would have been a guy, Tick, I would have been a guy who, while everybody was wearing suits, I'd been like, fucking, I would have worn the Q-zip back then.
You could be in the major leagues and you could be like Dusty Baker still wearing a fucking actual baseball uniform.
I know.
Like, that has to change. That has to change. They're throwing a fit, throwing shit on the field, screaming at the ref, and they're wearing like fucking baseball leotards.
Like, it would be like if Calipari was in a sleeveless and shorts.
I've never understood why the major leagues make the manager wear an actual uniform. You know how absolutely ridiculous he must be, like showing up 2 hours before the game and they got to put on pinstripe pants. Could you imagine that? Like, it's unbelievable. Some of these older coaches, it's like they got to feel like a clown.
Like a basketball coach.
Oh,
like,
my God. In no other sport do you need to do that.
It's like
they have got to get rid of that. That's just one of the worst things. And it's so funny. You watch these guys throwing a shit fit, screaming at the ump, and they're wearing like a little league uniform.
You should make everybody do it. Bill Self should wear like a shooting sleeve on the
Who was the old coach for the Cubs? Was it Lou Piniella? He looked like just melted
around in like metal cleats.
Yeah. Picking dirt onto home plate.
In a full uniform.
Imagine tying up a pair of cleats at 80. I mean, what are we doing? It makes you think.
Doesn't do that is Aaron Boone, who, by the way, is another. Don't even get me started on him. He he refuses. Talk about underachieving. He refuses. He wears a T-shirt and he I think they claim that there's a jersey under there. There's none. He's the only guy. He gets away with it, and then he gets ejected from about 30% of the pants. Pants.
Sure, he does wear the pants. Some of them wear the like. Well, who was it? Francona used to wear like the windbreaker. He was a big windbreaker guy. Like the
I'd wear anything to not have to wear a full uniform. MLB, on the sidelines,
MLB, man. MLB managers are one of a kind. Do you remember Ron Gardenhire?
Yeah, sure.
When I think MLB manager, I think of him. He's got the white goatee. He probably has a toothpick in his mouth. He's spitting all over the place, going like this to fucking people. He's, you know, MLB guys are built different.
I think no matter MLB, what you do up top, you have there's no getting around the pants. I think
pants are a problem. And you know, the thing is that you know they're eating chew. Like the MLB is stuck. They're in the twilight year, man. Like, you know, they're so worried about, like, not changing the game. How about let the manager wear a fucking suit on the side, on the dugout?
Yeah. I mean, it is hot out there, but something. Like, I like what D'Amico Ryans does. He's got, like, a jupe shirt kind of on.
Yeah. The long sleeve tee.
Yeah. It's
if you look like the manager from the San Francisco Giants and you look like a player yourself, then fair enough. But some of these other guys, dude, they should not be wearing these little league. I mean, it looks like they're dressing up for Halloween.
That would be former Philly Gabe Kapler.
Yeah, that's right. I'll tell you who's got it all figured out, Joe. It's the hockey managers. Those guys are sharp.
Yeah, they are. They always have been. And you know, they always, I will say, hockey players always show up decked out to the nines wearing the nicest suits. And you know what? It's about respect. It's about class. It's about respect for the game.
Sure.
Meanwhile, you have Wembanyama showing up looking like an alien in an all black balaclava. It's unbelievable.
That really bothers you, him specifically, huh?
I just thought it was bizarre. I think some of the things that these guys wear is so ridiculous, you know, and it's just like, you know, another one who used to dress up, he'd wear like he looked like he was directing traffic as a construction worker, Russell Westbrook. He'd show up wearing like, you know, the fuck. Oh my God, dude. He was wild the way he dressed.
He's one of my favorite players ever.
Jet loves people that everyone else hates, and he hates people that everyone loves.
I guess so.
Absolutely do that.
Russell Westbrook, I loved Russell Westbrook. He definitely like lost it at some point. He used to he would go 100% every fucking play. And the NBA guys take plays off. This guy did not take a second off for like 8 years. And he would fly through the lane and miss layups, make layups, not pass it to KD in the last second. Like, I didn't care. He was just he's just an animal out there.
He is. Yeah, he is. Yeah. All right, I'll do mine real quick. My problem this week is Mikey V and Joseph Peter DeMar.
Wow.
The two of them betting on a game together with four TVs playing the game. It is so loud. It is so intense. He kept standing right up in front of the TV and I couldn't see goddamn anything. Mikey. Both of you. And also when things were going well, I watched Mikey V almost throw Bob into a wall. He almost crushed this guy, this poor young man, the leader of our group here. He almost fucking gave him a head injury into that corner where the pictures are, the one corner.
Yeah.
He just shoved him, and I watched Bob go flying, and he barely caught himself because he's an athlete. But still, I mean, it was madness. It's not the way I want to watch a game is that
that's
way
what
with
the two
of
you. It's called March Madness.
Sure, the two of you, really, you amp each other up. You guys keep matching each other's energy, and it was a problem.
Was it a winner?
That one was, sure. Yeah, actually, almost everything you had was a winner, Joe.
Fire. Cutsy, you were. That first night, late at night, or Friday night, I was going to bed, and he texted me. He's like, I don't have anything left, but he's like, Grand Canyon.
I knew Jet would love that.
I didn't bet it, but I didn't bet it, but I can't not.
They won outright.
They smoked them.
We woke up the next morning to another beautiful hit, Joseph.
Yeah. That's a wonderful
thing. I don't understand how you guys can go to sleep while you got a game going.
I just, you know, at some point when you've given everything you have and you're exhausted, I was passing out. That's the East Coast time zone. Now, West Coast, sure. I used to be able to go to bed, you know, at 10 o'clock and all the games are essentially done. East Coast, you know, you got to stay up till one, sometimes later to see the games. And it's just like, it's a lot. Like some of these games start at 10:30.
Yeah.
11 o'clock at night. It's insane.
It's true. It's a little different with March Madness. If you've been betting all day and then I put a last bet in at night, I can go to sleep. But if the only bet I have on the whole day is at 10:30 at night, I'm going to stay up all night.
Once. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough, but that was not the case.
No, it wasn't. It was a big day. All right, let's move on to viewer questions, and then we'll get out of here. First question comes from Jackson Patron. Joe's wedding. Make a 5-man groomsman roster of only NFL players, past or present.
Wow.
It's a good
past one. Past or present. So say that again, five-man.
Five-man groomsman roster of only NFL players. I assume you're going to pick the guys you know.
Oh, I mean, I think you're going to pick some guys you like.
Oh.
I would pick the guys. Yeah, I'm going to pick NFL players that I like.
It'll be a mix, though.
Well, I figured you'd pick Josh for sure, right?
Josh for sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Give me Josh. Give me Aaron Rodgers.
Wow.
Give me Brett Favre just to spice things up at the
just
end
go
of the
all
night.
Quarterbacks. This is great.
How about you give me think of who else I'd like to go. Yeah, I'll give you quarterbacks. How about Peyton Manning? I think Peyton Manning would be great. Give a little speech halfway through. And then we need one more. Give me Michael Vick. You got to have one guy who just don't know if he gets into the booze, what's going to happen. Just a wild card. Why not?
I like that pick a lot. I'm a big Mike Vick fan.
Yeah, sure are, Tick.
Jet, you're not getting married, but you will one day. Why don't you do the same thing? Pick five guys, NFL.
Devin Hester.
Wow, that's a good one.
These are just going to be my five favorite NFL players.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Give me Devin Hester. Give me Matt Forte. Or do they call him Matt Forte? I never knew. Matt Forte, I think it is. No, Matt Forte.
Matt Forte.
Devin Hester, Matt Forte. It's been a while. Brian Urlacher.
Wow.
All Bears.
Man, I want to say Russell Wilson so bad.
Are you serious?
Oh, he'd give the greatest, corniest speech of all time. It'd be beautiful. Russell Wilson. And give me Sam Darnold. I love Sam Darnold.
I thought
you'd go there.
Yeah,
you're a big Darnold guy.
You love Darnold.
Tick, who are you going with?
I'm shocked you didn't go Jay Cutler. I thought you would like to spice it up with some Cutler.
Yeah, I was. I mean, I would probably take
an honorable mention
for Cutler. Yeah.
I would go Brian Dawkins for sure. I like the Mike Vick play a lot. But I'm not going to go there. I'm going to go with Donovan McNabb because he would give an equally corny speech at this thing.
Yeah, he would.
He's a corny man.
The only person giving a cornier speech than those two is Jameis Winston.
That'd be great. That'd be great.
Give me Jameis Winston.
He'd be eating all the crab legs.
Yeah. I need Jameis Winston in that crew. He's there. Brian Westbrook. And then Hank Basket.
You know my number. Well, two questions for you. One, Brian Westbrook. My only memory of him is when he went down at the 1-yard line against Dallas. Do you remember that shit?
I sure do.
It was a 3:15 game on Fox. And then the other thing was, it was late in the season too. It was like a big time game. It was a Joe Buck game. And then the other thing is, when I say Michael Vick, do you think you probably think Eagles?
No, I think Atlanta and Virginia Tech.
You think he's a Falcon, right?
Yeah, I think for sure he's a Falcon.
I actually think Eagles. When I think Mike Vick, I think Eagles. But
I think Eagles too, because
he's
more
known as a Falcon and more famous as a Falcon.
Well, he couldn't finish a single season. As good as he was, he couldn't finish a season with the Eagles. He would always get hurt come playoffs.
The Eagles was on the other side of his career. So it was on the second half of his career. He did have his most famous – that they beat the Giants when he was on their team. But the Falcons were – that was when he really, you know –
he had more success from a statistical background in Atlanta than he did in Philly. Because he just spent more time there, and he was so
when he got to the Eagles, it was the latter half of his career.
Correct. Yeah. He did like four years. Okay. But the last couple, he was just so banged. He didn't ever finish a season. Right. He was always hurt. Maybe the first season. Maybe he finished that one. But anyway, good question. Thanks for that one. Moving on. Nick Castellanos. Am I the asshole for wanting to leave a wedding venue at 9 p.m. when it started at 5?
Did you say Nick Castellanos?
I know. Yeah. Third base.
There's a drive from Castellanos. I'm deeply sorry. As a drive from Castellanos.
This kid asks a lot of questions. I feel like this is like his third or fourth question.
I mean, I think like if you're going at 5, you want to leave at 9. I mean, you obviously maybe just don't go to the wedding. Maybe you don't like the person enough to go to the wedding. That's crazy, Tick. I mean, like 5 o'clock by 9 o'clock, it's like you haven't even like the party hasn't even started. Like you're maybe getting through dinner and speeches and then you're just going to bounce. I mean, if you want to, sure. I just don't understand like the you know, if you're going to go to the wedding, you're giving a wedding gift. You should be, you know, taking advantage and getting as much as you can out of that evening in terms of drinking, food, festivities, dancing. Like, you know, it's like paying to, you know, however much you're going to give as a wedding gift to leave early. I mean, you can, but maybe just don't go to the wedding if you don't want to be there.
Oh, no way. No, I think 9 or 10 is the perfect time to leave because what's happened by 9 or 10?
I'm saying you can. You're saying you
shouldn't even go to the fucking wedding if you're going to leave that
early. I'm saying the fun starts. Like if you're really looking forward to being at a wedding, the fun at the wedding starts like post dinner and speeches and everybody's starting to have fun and get after it.
Right.
That's around like 8, 9 o'clock. So like if you're leaving right at that time, like you're more than inclined to leave. I'm just saying like you're not getting the value for being there. Maybe show up late and then leave later.
Yeah, but I mean, I like the 10 spot to leave because how much dancing do I need to do? 2 hours for me is a workout. And I think 10 as opposed to 9,
that 1 hour, that's a big difference, Tick.
I would agree.
That's a big hour. You can leave an impression and still have enjoyment and leave by 10.
Okay, so then the answer to this kid's question is he is the asshole. Leave at 10. Stick around for one more hour.
Stay one more hour and then
one more hour. Jet, you wouldn't even go to the wedding.
Jet would just no show.
It depends how his relationship with the people getting. Who gives a fuck? Leave at 9 or 10. They're not gonna. Nobody's gonna know.
Well, if you're in the party, I think.
Okay, then you're not going anywhere. But if you're, I can't tell if he's talking about that he's in the party or he's just a separate guest. 4 hours at the wedding, right? He said the wedding started at 5?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's there for 4 fucking hours? Go home. I don't like, who cares?
That is contingent, though.
All you have to do is make sure that you were seen by the bride and groom and their parents or whoever. You shook a couple of hands so they remember when they see you on the street, oh, he was at the wedding and he wished us, you know, well. They don't give a fuck. You don't have to do anything else. If you're in the wedding, you should stay, though.
Yeah, if you're in the wedding, you got to stay till the end, I think. Totally. You can't leave early if you're in the wedding.
If you're in the wedding, you want to stay to the end. Like,
yeah, of course. Yes, I would agree with that.
Yeah, shake a couple hands and make sure they know you were there, you know?
What's the earliest you've ever left a wedding, Joe? I mean, do you always close it down?
No, it depends. I'm not lecturing this guy for wanting to leave early. I'm saying that a wedding is fun when you're able to enjoy like the festivities. I've left weddings by, you know, especially when I was like younger, you know, around 10 o'clock. Again, it depends. Depends how close you are with people. It depends now I will say this. I left the wedding very early. I left with my parents for my cousin this past year, but I also co-emceed the wedding. I was there the whole time. I was exhausted, you know? So like, I didn't stay for the party portion. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but I just do think that like normally speaking, I always have more fun to stay and enjoy it, especially if I'm close with the people I'm there with.
Yeah, agreed. You know, I'd love to go to a good old fashioned Jewish wedding.
Oh man, a
big old mitzvah.
Those things are wild. I was
in Chicago. They're special, dude.
It seems like you guys know how to fucking party.
It's different. It's quite different. It's pretty wild. Yeah. There's a lot
of dancing in those weddings. Let me tell you, a lot of dancing,
a lot of chaos, to be honest.
Is it more chaos than Purim?
It's right up there equal. That's it's equal. Like it's It's pretty similar.
Yeah, well, I was disappointed. One of my best friends got married a couple of years ago, and he's Jewish, and but it wasn't a Jewish wedding, and it kind of angered me that it wasn't. But he did break the glass. He did that whole thing with his foot and stuff. Like, but I was so disappointed that it was not everything that I wanted it to be. But it was a great wedding. It was a great.
A lot of them are, Tick. You just went to the wrong one.
No, he's my best. I was in the wedding, but it was a great wedding.
They probably left at 9.
I think I might have. I think I might have left at 9 or 10.
8:45.
It's a long day, man. When you're in the wedding and you got to wake up for the pictures.
That is a long day. It's exhausting. But I feel like at that point you're committed, man. At that point you've really no choice, you know?
Yeah, fair enough. All right, let's do one more and then we'll get out of here. This one comes from Noah DeVos. Favorite gas station snack plus drink combo?
That's a good one. Cuts, you can go.
I would typically say I like a good Slurpee. And then probably give me a Slurpee and a bag of Doritos. I find that that's a hard combination to not be successful with.
Sure. That's good. Chet?
I hate talking about food and drink in a public forum because people just lose their minds over it and just can't handle somebody fucking liking something that they don't like. Like it's mind boggling. The things, and you guys love talking about food and like on the Brilliantly Dumb Show, everything's food, food, food.
I have one for Jet. That.
What?
I have one for Jet.
With that being said, I would do like, I'd do Coke Zero as the drink. Diet Coke is basically the same thing. And then either Sour Patch Kids or the Gardetto's fake Chex Mix type deal.
How about, I was going to say for you, a Diet Coke and a Chipwich.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we went to about 30 Chipwiches in Virginia. The thing is, I don't hit the Chipwich often. It's not like my go-to, but if it catches, because the freezer is sometimes, you got like the sliding freezers that they have, those don't always catch your eye. But if they do, you almost can't walk past them without grabbing.
Yeah, I saw you recently. We went to, where were we? We were in Myrtle and we went to 7-Eleven at like midnight. And we were in there probably for 10 minutes. And then right when you were about to check out, you saw the sliding freeze. And you couldn't look away.
I'm telling you, there's something about sliding that door. It's different than a fridge. If a fridge is open, a freezer's open easy. When you slide that door to the Narnia of ice cream, dude, there's so much stuff in there, and there's different kind of chipwiches, but it's the classic chipwich. You got to get the classic one. Now everybody's doing it fancy; they're sticking all these different things on them, but it's the classic one.
I agree. I'm just gonna go with a Gatorade, a blue Gatorade, and you know what I really like? Have you ever had those Snyder's pretzel pieces?
Yeah,
the
honey mustard ones.
Honey mustard and onion. Oh my god!
Yeah,
that might
down
be the
a
best.
Bunch of those.
That could be my number one snack. Love them.
Twizzlers are undefeated as well. I don't know if people are going to hate that. I could eat 1,000 of those. The little ones, the best.
I like Red Vines.
Yep.
Those are solid too.
Aren't they? They're the same thing, aren't they?
Twizzlers and Red Vines are much like Twizzlers have better. More of like a less licorice-y taste.
Okay. I agree with you though. If you're going to go Twizzlers, you got to get the little pieces. I like popping the little pieces in.
Yeah.
The big fucking thing, that's not a good image there, but just... Anyway, that's another episode of The Sportsman. We miss Mikey today, but we're always happy to have the Jet on. Really appreciate you coming on here, man, especially short notice as you let the people know early.
He's a gamer, man.
He's a dog. He's a dog. I mean, he's got
he came
work
off
to do
the bench and he hit like a solid amount of threes. He's done his job and we're on our way.
And he's got a beautiful twilight round with Bob later on today.
Wow. Just,
what a day.
I got to get back to work and then I got to play some bets for Shohei. And I'll see you guys next week.
All right. That's another episode of The Sportsman. Make sure you guys like, comment, subscribe to the YouTube and the Instagram. Fire questions over there, and Mr. Anderson will kick them back to us, and we'll answer them at the end of each episode. But till then, gentlemen, I will see you next week.